Perfect. Hello, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is December 16th, 2014. I just want to start this interview off by saying that I really ask everybody out there to hold the space through a very, very intense final hurrah for the dark. These are very tough times. They are blanketing our skies like no tomorrow with the chemtrails. They are sending out very, very negative frequencies that are causing people to turn against one another. They are doing all sorts of things to up their ante, which they don't have a prayer at this point. But because we are in the final days of this experience, I want to remind everyone that you are the masters. You have the power to take your world back, your life back, and your freedom back. So with that said, the other reason I'm doing this, this is a very impromptu emergency interview. I have Kevin Annette on the line with me right now. And one of the conversations that started coming forth was the fact that there is a lot of attacking going on the internet against people's integrity and character, and also what they do and don't do. So how do we deal with that? You know, this is something that happens on a fairly regular basis and especially really kicks it up a bit during the times when the energies are very high, because you have a Uranus-Pluto going on that came into full force last weekend. You also have us aligning with the galactic center today and tomorrow. So again, these energies are really intense today. So I wanted to give Kevin an opportunity to bring some information forth as to why he perceives this is happening. If anybody is not aware, yesterday, the 15th and the 14th of December was selected as one of the days to attack and target the whistleblowers. And of course, many of you know Kevin Annette is one of those. So hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fine, Alexandra. Thanks for having me on.
You are welcome. 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 I wanted to kind of open it up today to bring people's awareness to the kind of slandering that's going on, the trolls that are out on the internet posting a lot of negative information. And you know what, folks? That's the other thing I want to say is those of us that have the responsibility to spread this information, such as articles and postings. Everybody knows about my blog. You know, it's a very major responsibility, because you're hoping that the information that you share with others is giving them an opportunity to look at things less polarized. And this is one of the reasons that I have Kevin on today, is to express why he feels this hysteria has kind of started lately out on the internet. Bringing, you know, some information about ITCCS that he does not agree with. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up with that, Kevin, and you go ahead and take it from there.
Thanks. Thanks, Alexander, for holding space so well. I appreciate it. It's very important to do that right now.
You're welcome.
I won't pass judgment right now. I'll just state what's happened. A couple of days ago, right out of the blue, Alfred Weber, who I work with, have worked with actually for over 10 years. We've known each other since the days of Vancouver Co-op Radio. We've been allies. We've supported each other. A few days ago, he said a very odd thing, which is he kind of shifted the focus of the whole debate away from the crimes that we've documented so well, back onto a real red herring, which is that he wanted to see evidence that the ITCCS and the common law courts actually exist, which is a very strange thing to say, because the existence is proved by, in the real world, by the effect it's had, by not only the people who come forward and the evidence we published, which is evidence he's already commented on. In our last number of interviews, he did refer to all of the evidence from the first court case about genocide in Canada that's up on ITCCS.org. He referred to our eyewitnesses. He recognized the need for court members and ITCCS officers to be anonymous and recognize that as a chief spokesman, even though I was putting my life in danger, that was my role to represent those people who couldn't be seen publicly for their own safety. Suddenly all of that is out the window, and Alfred is begins voicing exactly the same kind of comments that are coming out from the trolls and the professional misinformers. And I have no explanation for that. I attempted to talk to Alfred offline about why he was kind of parroting that red herring, which is a lot like shutting the barn door after the horse has left, because the court cases in both the case of genocide in Canada and the present Pope Bergoglio, they've already issued their decisions, and they're not even convened anymore. But he wants proof that they actually existed. Well, you know, we made it clear from the beginning that the evidence and of the court and what happened would be released gradually so as to not to compromise the witnesses and the ongoing investigation into child trafficking and other things. He agreed with that, and now suddenly it's as if he never recognized that. So I don't have any explanation why he's doing that, 180-degree turn. It could very well be because of the energy you're describing. I know as well that it's not unusual for people in our network to be approached, to be threatened. You know, people's own backgrounds of abuse and, you know, compromise in various ways are utilized and exploited by the other side very much. So any of that is possible. I don't want to pass judgment on Alfred. I do know that what he's done is pretty destructive. And I've asked him a number of times to simply talk to us offline about this and not to generate false impressions or you know, the same kind of distractions that these things are intended to create. So far, that hasn't had a result. But building on that, and so as not to focus on that issue as if it's, you know, kind of a personal issue between me and him, which it isn't at all, at least not from my end. What I do want to mention is that in the new year, based on a lot of the evidence that we've come up recently, there is a new grand jury forming in Vancouver, Canada, that's going to be looking into a lot of these crimes we've documented, and including the Pacific Rim child trafficking and the snuff film industry, a lot of the evidence about the 12 Mile Club and the organized connection between Drangheta, the Catholic Church, and all the crimes, you know, I documented for 20 years in Canada. All of that is going to be looked at, as well as these recent Black Ops attacks on our members and the unresolved and unsolved murders of six of our members, Aboriginal members in Vancouver over the last 5 years. So all of that's going to be looked at, and we hope in the process of that people will get back on track and start, you know, doing the work that's needed to protect children's lives and the lives of all of our people who are involved in these efforts.
Well, thank you for putting that so articulately. I think one of the comments I want to make is I respect Alfred, as do many, many others that, you know, basically work on the internet trying to get information out to the world. He has been a phenomenal resource of uncovering a lot of information that has been really opening our eyes and increasing awareness across the globe. And so I just want to state that up front, that we not look at this again from a polarized perspective, folks, that we not look at it as a he versus us, because it's nothing like that. I really do believe that this is an opportunity for people like Kevin to present a very neutral, very reasonable way of approaching this, because these types of things, Kevin, let's face it, they happen all the time. And unfortunately, if we're not staying in a space where we're just neutral to the information and we just perceive ourselves as an observer instead of being triggered, you know, that's when the frenzy starts occurring. And we don't need this right now. This is, in, it just feels so deliberate because of the timing. And for whatever reason, Alfred's doing this, whether information has come in that has caused him to question you or caused him to question maybe some testimonies that have come through or whatever, it just feels and reeks to me like a timed persuasion that has, you know, that is causing dissonance amongst those of us, and we're all in this together to get the information out. So I just really felt very strong.
Just on that, it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, it's very much timed, which is disturbing because it happened literally the same day that four or five other major attacks came against us on the internet, from somebody in Australia, from somebody in Europe. It was coordinated and the people were all saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's coming from the same source, obviously. And what was really disturbing was that there was no new evidence or being offered by Alfred to suggest why he was suddenly concerned about the legitimacy of the court and the ITCCS. It was simply rehashing these things that the other, you know, these various smear artists had been saying for months. So I don't have an explanation for it. But what I do know is that it's also occurring at a very crucial time in terms of in Canada, the Republic of Canada is about to be constitutionally established, and part of that constitution will allow for the creation of a High Court of Justice, which will have the lawful authority to create common law courts for the first time in Canada. And that will be the mechanism by which a lot of these things are adjudicated. So, again, it's not accidental. You know, it's happening right on the verge of that. Our network in Canada is all upset about this now. People are being distracted, as they're meant to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen and been through this pattern over 20 years, and I, you know, you can see it from a mile away after a while.
Well, not only that, but if you looked at this energetically, there's been a wave that's just been growing to the point where after the Burnaby Mountain situation, that grew exponentially, that wave of excitement and empowerment and people taking back their own rights. And that's popping up all over the world. And sure enough,
That's
only been, what, maybe a week or so that occurred, maybe 10 days? I don't remember, but... You know, that to me is enough.
Yeah, just to...
Go ahead.
That's a very good point, Alexander. As a matter of fact, just to rehash for people who don't know that, basically our common law court in Vancouver got the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the BC Supreme Court to stand down and to obey our common law jurisdiction, saying that they were doing a legal act. They were illegally arresting people. The Crown officials had no authority anyway, since they're serving a criminal body called the Crown of England, and they did stand down. They released over 110 people from jail and banned further drilling by Kinder Morgan at the Burning Mid Mountain site. So it showed people that not only do they have the power to act and achieve things, but that our common law jurisdiction has lawful authority in Canada. Now, that's a tremendous breakthrough, and it is empowering. We got 200 new recruits for the Republic in that few days following that action, just right out of the blue, and... you know, that worried the other side, and in response, they start these things again. And, it, you know, it's not unusual at all that would happen.
Well, now, do you want to address some of the rumors that are flying around as far as you being on the outs with the some of the Indian, the Indian councils, such as the Mohawk Indians? Apparently, there's been, you know, information spreading around about that you're not on the best of terms with them. What would you say if someone asked?
Well, that's a rehash of something that was put out 2 years ago at the Mohawk site, where I and others in ITCCS had been invited in writing by 10 elders in the Mohawk Nation. All of that is up online at itccs.org, their letter, all of our work there. They asked us to come in with, you know, forensic archaeologists and look for the remains of children on the site of the oldest residential school in Canada, the Mohawk School in Brantford, Ontario. We did that with their authority. It was interrupted. The band council chief, on orders from the government, literally he was called to Ottawa and then he came back and he sabotaged the dig. They approached the 10 elders who had sponsored us. They used bribes, and we know this from several of them, including Cheryl Squire, who gave me this information. And one of the people who had sponsored us, Frank Miller, his name was, went on YouTube and claimed that none of the elders supported me anymore, even though he was only one of 10. And it was the same pattern that happened in 1998 after a first tribunal, where the government pays a faction within the Native community to pretend that they're speaking for, like, all of the Natives and condemning Kevin Annett. It's the same old pattern at work again. Now, Carrie Miller, I think, who I believe is actually related to Frank Miller, has gone on the internet and posted that, kind of rehashed that claim that, you know, I was desecrating the bones of children and all of that hysteria they try to create. It's an odd thing to say because the bones were already desecrated. They were the bones of children who had been raped and murdered and thrown in the ground. We were simply trying to bring them back for proper burial, which had been approved of by the Mohawk elders. So, I mean, when you look into the evidence of what we were uncovering, it's the same thing as what we're talking about. For the first time in history, a residential school mass grave site had been opened up. We show the clothing and the buttons from school uniforms. Dr. Don Ortner at the Smithsonian Institute verified that one of the bones was a knee socket of a five-year-old child. He conveniently dies 2 months after making that report.
Wow.
I mean, you know, all of these things are in line to make it legit, make it seem that, you know, Kevin Anand is this bad guy who comes in and none of the Indians like him. You scratch beneath the surface, look at the hard evidence, and you see that that's not true at all. So all of that is coming out. They're digging up all of these old lies, and for the uninformed, you know, the image of this white guy going in digging up Indian bones, that's appealing psychologically to certain fears people have. You know, it's designed to do that.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, Kevin, is this is really going to train and teach us all how to handle adversity. And I know it cannot be easy for you to take on the task that you have. You know, many people that I know that I've even discussed your goings on with, you know, just as far as what you're working on and what you've discovered, you know, most of us just scratch our heads and say, you know, how do you do it? Because we know that you're under attack all the time by the powers that were. And, you know, it's not an easy role to play. So I think what I want to remind people of is, are we attacking the messenger or are we attacking the actual purpose and foundation and and intention? You know, I mean, the intention here, let's not get away from the fact that the intention here is to uncover and discover who is behind the killing of mass amounts of children, trafficking, prostitution, and not only that, ritualistic sacrificing, period. I mean,
right.
You know, this is really...
Well, I mean, you keep that in mind. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, I had, you know, the way I approach this is something that was actually taught to me when I was in my 30s. I went down to Mexico, and I worked in the Guatemalan refugee camps with the Mayan people, who had all suffered this horrible war of genocide in Guatemala. They were living in Chiapas in these refugee camps, and I met a defrocked priest who eventually was killed by a death squad. But I mean, his name was Fidel, Father Fidel, they called him. He was this old guy who worked with the Mayans, and he said to me, we're sitting around one night in this little hut, and I asked him the same question. I said, you know, these death squads and everything, they're gunning for you all the time. Like, how do you deal with your fear? How do you keep doing this work when you've got so much against you? He said, well, I'm afraid a lot, and often I'm tempted to get up and leave and just go back to Spain and protect myself. But every time I do that, I go and look, I go through the camp and I find the poorest child and I look into her eyes and I realize that she can't escape.
Mm.
And then she gives me courage to stay another day.
Wow.
And I'll never forget his words because he was the happiest man I ever met. He was content because he had found his purpose and he wasn't afraid because the people around him, he realized they were in worse shape than he was. And he had an obligation to them, otherwise he couldn't live with himself. Now that's basically describing where I'm at. Yeah, I think of the children in cages right now. The kids are going to be on an altar tomorrow being sacrificed and raped and murdered. If we give in to these petty feelings of, you know, fighting one another, the ways we're manipulated to do that, we've got to keep going up to the higher ground all the time and remember those children and our higher nature. And that's how I keep going.
Yeah, thank you for that. In fact, I was just going to say, how is this any different from the false flags that, you know, of the bombings at children's schools and things like that? This is just the same tactic, except they're doing a false flag on the internet. And the only thing is they're...
Exactly, they're doing that.
Yeah, and they're so, they're masters at manipulating the technologies used because the skies are being blanketed with chemtrails, and we already know that they have the technology to send out specific frequencies that cause us to question ourselves, that cause us to be insecure, that cause us to doubt the people that we actually trusted from the beginning.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's very much it's that. And, you know, you can only really overcome that once you've found that eternal aspect in yourself. And now that I have, I fall back on that all the time. I mean, there's our normal human responses of fear and doubt and all that stuff. But there's that more solid aspect to us that really leads us through all of that. So I find it gets strengthened. The people who are meant to do this work are strengthened by all of this,
yeah.
by this nonsense and these attacks. And we're not, you know, and we keep finding one another all the time, as you and I found each other.
Yes. And I hope, you know, this is my hope, that it's this is just one of many circumstances that this has occurred in. And I really hope that with
yeah.
the future communications between Alfred and Kevin, that they will show us, they will prove to us that this is just another way of distracting us. It's another way of causing potential mm-hmm. harm between two people that were already on very good terms. I mean, because Alfred has been interviewing you for how long, Kevin?
Well, a number of years. I mean, we've known each other over 10 years, and he's been a real help over the last number of years especially. And I just, you know, again want to say it's really not about Alfred. It's about influences that are trying to turn us against one another.
True.
And so for people's clarity, what the policy is within the ICCCS and its courts is that its top officers and the prosecutor and judges and the evidence is not to be made public, is to operate anonymously for now to protect the ongoing investigation. I mean, for example, the evidence that Interpol used to make these arrests a few months ago was information we had provided them. If those people had have gone public, we couldn't have shared that information, and those 30 children in the cages in Holland that were released would still be there. They'd probably be dead by now. It's because we were anonymous and didn't come forward publicly, you know, that was able to happen. Now, we're not concerned about how we look in people's eyes right now. We're concerned about the lives of children. Whatever it takes to protect them, we will do. So for now, because I had 20 years experience and I'm well known, yeah, like in the Aboriginal world, I was one of the people named to be a public spokesman for this. There's others, you know, involved. There's people in Australia and Europe now who have come forward more. All of that's at ICCCS.org, and that'll happen more in the year 2015. We know this is an opening up year for all of this work.
Definitely. For all of this work and all of us. 2015 is our renaissance.
Yep.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. We only have probably, Kevin, like another, you know, maybe 45 days of muck. I mean, we are getting so close to the end with, if you look at the financial system right now, today's headlines are unbelievable.
So I can retire after 45 days. That's great to know.
Well, I won't go that far, but hey, did you want to?
I'm kidding. I never would.
You have no.
I think I'll die with my boots
retire
on.
Yet, Kevin, because we need you.
I know. Oh, well.
Did you want to address the black ops on the internet? The guy that...
Well, you know, it's the same... Yeah, the trouble with the Internet, I'm not going to swat at flies because it's all designed to do that. I'm just going to keep focused on the issue. It's not about me. You know, when I see an attack on me, it's not about me at all. It's about the person doing the attack. So I don't address them on that level. I just stick to the evidence. I have people... I say to everybody, address the evidence. Address the issue, not me. Because
mm-hmm.
that's really what's involved. So, no, I don't want to respond to these specific attacks. I just want to remind people to keep going to the evidence that we published at ITCCS.org and keep working with us on that level.
Well, so the last bit of really big news is that you have agreed to a public debate. Is that something that you were talking
about? Yes, that came out of Brussels. They, in response to Alfred's request for an interview from more members of the ITCCS, they said, fine, but we don't want to do it simply as an interview. We want to, and not simply a debate, we want to open up a whole inquiry into why this is going on. That's really behind this grand jury I made reference to before. They want to, in a nutshell, the people in Brussels want to get together with the folks doing Kanata, open up a grand jury to say, okay, yeah, let's look at ITCS, but let's put it in the bigger context of look at the work we've done, look at the 20 years' work on the West Coast, look at what we've exposed, and look at how these dark forces are also funding the present black ops that, you know, was reflected in some of these recent unfortunate things on the Internet. So, they're putting it in a bigger context to get outside another interview of, well, did you say this? Whatever, right? That's not the issue at all. It's really the work. And that's... that's really what's going to be happening in the new year during January in Vancouver and other places as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, because that was your latest email out this morning to your list.
Right.
So I thought that was very cool. Mm-hmm. To me, it shows even more organization on the part of us. I think this is going to do nothing but strengthen you and the exposure to the common law courts. So what do you think about that?
That's right.
You know? So.
Well, yeah, and in fact, that's the ultimate aim, definitely.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Now, is there anything else that you wanted to cover? I knew that you didn't want to take too much time, but I wanted to give you some space to respond and reflect.
No, I appreciate that, Alexander. No, I pretty much said it for now. I urge people, over the next couple of days, there's going to be a major announcement at ITCCS.org coming out of the directorate in Brussels and about this whole thing. So I just urge people to go there, and we'll pick this up probably in the new year again.
That sounds great. That sounds great. So once again, everybody, hang in there, hang tough. I know that it is very intense out there right now, but when you start feeling pulled in about 3,000 different directions, just remember that we are all going through the same thing. Whether it appears that way or not, we're all a subject of these energies. So let's band together. Let's not allow the false flags on the internet to cause dissension and cause us to, destroy ourselves or distract ourselves from what's really important, which is Kevin's crusade to assist these children and bring out the truth and stop the madness of the child sacrifice and the ritualistic sacrifice. So anyway, thank you, Kevin, for coming on really quickly. I do appreciate your time, and we all appreciate what you're doing. We look forward to hearing what occurs between you and Alfred. And in respect for Alfred, we also honor him for all that he has done and all the information he's brought forth, too. So we look forward to hearing the rest of this story.
Right. Well, we'll keep you updated, and we'll shift the focus away from me and Alfred onto the issue.
This is true.
Our aim. It's been our aim all along.
I'm only suggesting that, Kevin, just so people really recognize that it is not about Kevin and Alfred, but at the same time, this is a great opportunity to show the world that we can all agree to disagree. We don't have to shred each other's character. We don't have to get nasty. These are such programs that have been placed in our lives since we were born, Kevin. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at journalism, it's got to stop, and we are the ones to stop it. So anyway, we thank you with all our hearts. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks again.
And we'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
Bye.